The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 202, episode 5 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, the production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Friday, September 17th, 2021. TGIF, am I right?
Oh, yeah.
My name is
Gandalf, it's Friday.
Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, Ted Cruz ate my son. That is courtesy of Lex Loogie. That is a song. He had a couple verses that apparently, you know, replacing What's Going On with Ted Cruz Ate My Son works perfectly throughout that. Like, she's begging for a revolution. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, cries sometimes when I'm lying in bed because Ted Cruz ate her son. It makes a lot of sense. It could be just like a Weird Al's first just one word switched out and it totally makes sense.
I'm sure Linda Perry was thinking about that too.
Probably.
Yeah, one of the great songwriters.
Of course. Well, I am thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Doom, doom, doom. I drink a little pee. I can taste the COVID-19. I'm a TDZ host and a man. My cum is worthless and flat.
Okay, if you don't know Red Hot Chili Peppers' Deep Cuts, that's Pee from One Hot Minute, and that's a song where Flea is singing it, but shout out to Excipio on the Discord for, I guess, although it wasn't me, it was mostly Jack and the guests who were talking about their pee determining or their palate for tasting COVID in urine.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's part of the lore, so we will accept it.
I can tell you if you got COVID. Just give me a little sip of your pee-pee. Wait, the song is called originally Pee?
But like P-E-A.
P-E-A. And does he... Okay.
He says, he like, I'm a little pee.
Oh, okay. I drink a little pee.
Cute. I'm a teeny tiny.
Oh.
My cat's called Tiny, and her ears go up every time I sing that part.
Yeah, it is weirdly cute for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I feel like Flea is real cute, which I guess is to be expected from somebody who took the name of a tiny little creature. Yeah. Anyways, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant artist, translator, writer, and podcaster who you can hear on her podcast, Sparkle Side Chats, with magical girl Ayu. You can commission a painting or buy a print of her beautiful paintings of people like Nicole Byer
and
Lil Nas X. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Ayumi Shinozaki.
I am Ayumi. Ooh. From a far off place with Jack and Miles hosting TDZ. And Side Gang will hear a pod that's second rate. Ooh. And Anna saying, this is why you all should stream. I'm a guest today. I also host a podcast. Order art from me. I'll Ooh. Ship it to your door. Back on Daily Zeit. Talking trends, that's right. I'm on Zoom with Jack and Miles, right where I belong.
Woo!
Wow.
Look at that.
Slow Did clap you? With a single tear.
Yeah, that was by The Brew over on Zycord.
The Brew.
Wow. Damn. Okay, Brew.
We see beautifully you. Performed with heart.
Yeah. What's new? How you living? Yeah, What's new? How's the weather in Japan? I haven't been in 3 years because of everything, so I have to keep asking you, how is it there?
Well, weather-wise, it's been a little back and forth. September has not decided whether or not it's going to be fall yet. Mm-hmm. So it's been a little wild. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're in the middle of some, I guess, political stuff because Suga's going to be our current prime minister, who was appointed by Prime Minister Abe last year mm-hmm. when he quit because he couldn't. Well, he said it's for his health, but he said he couldn't really handle all the criticism for his reaction to COVID, mm-hmm. basically. But now Suga's the one who's stepping down. So everyone's talking about who the government's going to appoint a new prime minister. And maybe we'll get an election. It's still not clear.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's. Are things about to kick off there too, like campaigns and things, pretty soon?
Well, they're saying if there is an election, it'll be in October. But everything has been like maybe. I don't know why.
Oh,
so they might just put someone up in this position again, just like last year, which is not great because it's already been pretty bad, and it's going to still stay right wing. We might get our first female prime minister, who is basically a fusion of Margaret Thatcher and Nancy Reagan. So,
oh, I love to exciting. See that.
Yeah,
especially in a changing world right now, we need more people who want to conserve the old way.
Yes.
terrible fucking recipe.
Pretend it's the 80s. That'll work, I'm sure. Someone.
That's what COVID deniers want to do. Like, it's 2018.
There you go.
It's got to keep up. I know it's tough. I know things are moving quick, but that's the challenge of living in this era.
Mm. And you guys were talking before we started recording, you're both sipping on the same beverage.
Mugicha. Yeah.
Yes.
Mugicha.
Yeah, mugicha. Cha is
barley
like hot tea. But yeah, mugi, yeah. That barley tea is so easy to make. You can just throw your tea bag in your little, pitcher or whatever for a couple hours. Then it's just gold. And it's very healthy. And
then you put a bunch of ice in it and just slam it.
No, I mean, I keep it in my refrigerator so it comes out cold. You know what I mean?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's also got health benefits, antioxidants and vitamins. It's good for your digestion.
And a bunch of caffeine, right? That'll just fucking fuel you.
None of that. Sorry, Jack.
Huh? Why is it so popular, bro?
Wait, so what does it do?
So what does it do for me? Like, how does it take me out of self so that I just don't feel anything?
No, for me, I think of like being in Japan because this is something that was always in the refrigerator at like any of my family members' houses, especially in the summer. So when the weather's warm, I love to bust out that mugicha. And I tell people, if you like something that's like water, it's not, there's no sugar or anything like that. It's not acidic, just have a little of that, good for you.
It's almost like a more gentle water, like because the barley taste is like so subtle that it almost replaces like any aftertaste that water might have.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's really nice.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, I mean, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about how the fears around critical race theory and the fears around that drove people to storm the Capitol, it turns out they overlap. Mm. And we'll talk about how scientists mm-hmm. came to that conclusion. We're going to talk about, we don't usually go too deep on true crime on this show, but there is this wild saga that is happening in South Carolina with a family called the Murdaugh family that I just want to kind of run through and talk about it because I think it reveals things or at least reinforce what we already know about America. We're going to talk about Tucker Carlson and just the continuing widening ripples, you know, waves caused by Nicki Minaj's tweet about her cousin's friend's balls mm-hmm. and just the there are now international implications of that.
Yeah.
We're going to remind you that some Democrats are pieces of shit. We're going to talk about the new hot new fall trend, which is divorce. all of that, plenty more. But first, Aimee, what is something from your search history?
So my search history is Home Sweet Home. Mm. I was listening to another podcast that was talking about something related to like the Wizard of Oz and
Hold on. You said you listened to another podcast?
Nah,
I'm so sorry.
Fuck that.
Let's just stop the tape now. You know what, Dramos, Justin, like we're heading out. Anna, let her know.
This is, we can't figure out why anyone would listen to us if they know about other podcasts. So we have a strict policy of, we pretend that this podcast exists.
Actually,
in a world
it's great
where...
news, Jack, because the theory doesn't hold. She knows of other podcasts and that's still true. Listens. Okay, go on. You've made my day.
That's okay. So I was listening to a podcast that was talking about the movie Return to Oz. And so it was making me think about like the Oz universe and stuff, but they were making jokes about the phrase home sweet home, and it made me realize like, oh, is that a reference to this story, The Wizard of Oz, or is it something else? So I had to Google it, and it's actually from before The Wizard of Oz books, I guess. So apparently it's a song that's adapted from an opera from 1823, which is like super old. And I listened to the song, and actually, I realized I had heard the song because in Japanese, it's known as Hanyu no Yado, and it was used in the movie Grave of the Fireflies from Studio Ghibli. But yeah, it was like it was just like a hit song in 1823. And so like in the Wizard of Oz movie, it is also referencing that song. And they actually are using part of the melody, I think, at the very end or something like that. But
whoa, yeah. I never saw Return to Oz. I just know of it, but I never seen it.
But from what I heard on this podcast, it sounds like it was really wild, but more in line with the wildness of the other Oz books.
Okay.
Because there's like the villain of that is Princess Mummy, who has 31 heads. And so she like takes off a head and puts on another head. And it's like, this is for children. But okay.
Right. Yeah. Rip my head off in front of these kids. Yeah. Let's see how they react. I didn't realize Firouza Balk from The Craft is like the lead in that. Yeah. She's Dorothy? What the fuck?
Yeah, but she's like very young. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know how
it sounds like it's. I haven't watched it yet, but it does sound like it is worth watching just to be like, how is this a thing? But yeah, reading more about it is maybe want to like get into. Because I never read the Oz books. I know I watched the original Wizard of Oz movie, but I don't remember watching it. The only reason I know I watched it is because I wrote about it in my 6-year-old diary. But so it's like one of those franchises that I like never actually checked out, but I'm aware that like the idea of it, the vibe from the film, like the original film, is very different from like I guess the whole universe of the books.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Got you. I'm tuning in just to see Child Firouza Balk because I love the Craft.
that's valid, yeah.
I vaguely remember like being at a family's house when I was a kid and them having that on and just being fucking terrified of that movie, like being like, this is a sequel to The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, there's some very terrifying like monsters, like, or there's like some things that like have wheels for hands and wheels for feet. I don't know.
Right.
There's a talking chicken. There's a whole bunch of stuff. It's like, huh? What? Yeah.
Directed by Walter Murch. I wonder what else he directed, because it is real, real creepy shit that, like, I think I, like, it affected the fever dreams I had later on in life.
Okay, yeah.
They're all returned to Oz adjacent.
Yeah.
Oh no.
What is something you think is overrated?
I had a lot of trouble coming up with something today, but I think having a reason to dislike something is overrated.
Mm.
It could also apply to liking things, honestly, but I want to focus on disliking because, like, I think that if you are passionate about something and someone else says, I don't like it, or it's like, it's not my cup of tea, I feel like for many people, the natural reaction is to get, like, upset and be like, why don't you like it? And also, I think, especially online with social media, people want to have, like, the fire takes about why something is trash or whatever. But, like, for example, I don't like the color orange, and I don't know why. Like, when I look at the color orange, it just makes me feel negative. And I don't know if it's because I have synesthesia or if like, something happened to me with something that was orange colored when I was younger. But, like, it just makes me feel sad or kind of bummed out when I look at orange or, like, red orange. But yellow orange is, like, kind of okay. But, like, I have no reason for this dislike, but it's just a thing. And, you know, when I talk to kids, it's, like, the same way. Because, like, you know, I am a part-time teacher, and so I talk to a lot of kids, and it's like, oh, what's your favorite color or whatever? And, like, oh, I like green, I like pink, I like black. And they never have a reason why. It's just like, oh, it makes me happy, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So, my favorite color was my favorite color because some older family kid I looked up to, it was their favorite color. And I was like, yep, that's my color. Yeah, I like that color too now. Fucking with it. And and I still like it. And I look back and I'm like, it was all because of just modeling myself after an older kid. It was why I liked this color my whole life.
It's so funny. But favorite colors are such a big deal for kids.
Yeah.
Like, they ask everybody, my kids, when they first meet someone, they want to know what their favorite color is. And
that's adorable.
They feel like my son feels kinship with me because we're the only two in our family who have the same favorite color. And
treating like favorite color, like conversations on the schoolyard was predated like Twitter, where people were arguing about the MCU. You know what I mean? Like, I remember acting like, yo, this kid likes red. Him. He likes red. This is stupid. Why? We like blue. I like blue. He likes blue. John likes blue. What's going on with you? And that, I just remember being so incensed when someone didn't like blue.
Yeah.
And that was, again, like, to your point, I mean, like, I was too young to be like, that doesn't mean I'm stupid because I like blue or they hate blue for a good reason. People just like different shit.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and the same thing applies to media and, you know, books and so on. Like, it's just, there are a lot of things that I know are, like, super popular, but when I watch them, I don't feel anything, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't feel like I have to explain it. Just like, it's not for me. That's okay.
Yeah, and I'd imagine on that same side of that coin, if you hear someone say they don't like a thing you like, you're not then sent into some, like debate spiral where you're like, well, explain why. Yeah. Explain your point here.
I just know they're an idiot. I just know that they're wrong. And they're, yeah, I was reading an article actually about, there are all these like Van Gogh exhibits that are going across the country that are just like, they project like a sort of animation of various Van Gogh paintings. Like,
oh, yeah. Like where they do it at Amoeba.
They're doing it at Amoeba. Spot.
Yeah.
They basically rent a centrally located abandoned building and like do this big thing that like has the trappings of a art museum, and you know, like they give out tote bags, so it's like to appeal to the NPR set, but then like it's really like kind of just, I don't know, it's not really the same as going to an art museum in any respect. It's just like going to see a kind of trippy light show type thing. It's more on par with like the orchestra or like the light shows that people used to go to in the 70s.
Right.
But somebody was like talking about like there's a backlash to that, and they were just like, who gives a shit? Like, honestly, like, except people enjoy it.
Oh, like from the art world or whatever? Or like...
Yeah, from the art world being like, this is taking the place of art. People should just go stand in front of paintings. But anyways, the writer was talking about how they take their kids, they're a teacher also, and they take their kids to art museums, and the way that they have introduced the kids to art is they just like take them into a room and they're like, okay, everybody go stand in front of the painting that you like the most. Mm. And then you just let them talk about the thing that they responded to about the painting.
Mm.
which I immediately wrote down as the thing I have to do with my kids. But also, like, it's just a good way to, you know, focus on. I feel like that's how we should interact with culture in general. Just like stand in front of the movie you like and then interact with other people who love that movie rather than being feeling like you need to comment on the shit that everybody else likes.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
What is something you think is underrated?
Books and novelizations for non-book media, like especially movies and TV shows and so on. So partly this is like because when the Star Wars like third trilogy started, they released a whole bunch of new books, mostly because they were saying some of the older books were no longer valid or whatever, which
canon
is fine, I guess. But like,
right.
Yeah. But they released a whole bunch of other books and I like enjoyed a whole bunch of them and they helped me to enjoy the movies even more, which is not to say that like if you didn't enjoy the movies that you have to read these books or whatever to like truly get it, right? But yeah, for me, because like I love getting more lore and stuff. Another example is like the Descendants Disney movies on the Disney Channel. I'm a big fan of those movies. And there was also like an animated series on YouTube for the show or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they had to make books that tied these two different canons together. And they did a really good job with that. And I really enjoyed that, even though it's like, you know, a much younger audience or whatever.
That's all based off of the expanded universe of the Descendants, the yes. Alexander Payne, George Clooney film, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so you haven't seen it, Jack?
But, Disney Descendants is about the children of the classic Disney characters. Mm. It's actually very interesting. They're very fun. The movies are by Kenny Ortega, who did High School Musical, so they're like... they're super awesome.
Got it.
Yeah, I do highly recommend them. But yeah, the books help to kind of like tie things together even more in a way that's really fun.
I'm trying to think of a novelization that I've read that's like that. Because I would grab books that were like just based on movies because I was like, well, it'll be easier. I always had trouble reading fiction when I was a kid because like I couldn't imagine. My imagination was really, for whatever reason, limited until I probably started doing drugs or something. But it always helped me to be like, okay, I know what these characters look like because of other things. Right. Now I can enjoy this versus the ones where I would have to like just, I don't know, think these things up in my head. Very, very odd time for my imagination, I'll say.
Oh, absolutely. I think for some reason, my father bought the Terminator 2 novelization when I was a kid, and I loved it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really good.
That's great.
Yeah. I need to read that. See, like, Jack, you probably, would you love, like reading the novelization of Jaws?
Jaws 2.
Jaws 2.
It was one of the first novels that I ever read was the novelization of Jaws 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Encourages reading, which I think is, of course, super important. Like, you know, that's why they have like all the picture books for like all kinds of classic characters and stuff now. Yeah, just I think it's really good to like whatever it takes to get kids to read, I think is generally good. But yeah, the other thing for me is also for video games. I don't know if it's really the case so much in English originally, but at least in Japanese, there are a lot of novelizations of video games, which is great for me because I don't have time to play video games anymore. So it's like, if I want to revisit a story, or if I like a story for a video game, but I can't play the video game, like maybe it's too difficult or something, then I can just read the book and still get the story. Basically.
Right, and now you can keep up in conversation. Now you're like, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that level. That was page 83.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dude, I love the idea of the novelization of Terminator 2 because I want to read in text. The Terminator hangs up the payphone and looks at him and says, "Your foster parents are dead."
Yes.
I just want to read that like literary version of that exchange because I can't stop thinking about "Your foster parents are dead" ever in my life.
Yes. It's a classic line, yeah.
Did you read the novelization of Terminator 2 before you watched the film Terminator 2?
Oh, gosh. I actually don't remember when I first watched. Like, that's one of those things that, like, because my father was so into the Terminator series, I cannot remember the distinct time when I first watched it, you know?
Right.
Same with Star Wars, same with a lot of other stuff from childhood.
So. Right. It's like asking someone, do you remember the first time you read the Bible or felt God's love? It's hard to put your finger on.
Oh man, I saw Terminator 2 twice when I was in theaters, like, and I think I was probably too young to do that, but
it
was a blast.
Yeah, Eddie Furlong. Mm. He was he made music in Japan that like only released in Japan, and my mom like helped do some publicity for him in the early 90s. And I got to have I went to a dinner my mom fucking took me to. She didn't have to take me, so I could just stare at Eddie Furlong the whole time and be like, oh man, you're the coolest kid in town, man. You hung out with the Terminator and you wear flannel.
Can't just do that. You gotta. That's a terrible edit for a long time. All right. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And all right, I'm not sure where the study is from. It was reported in Slate
and NBC News, I think.
NBC News put it together for us. And that basically they're reporting that critical race theory and all the fears around it, that with parents screaming about how this was racism against white people or something, the demographic groups that drove that wave are the same demographic groups that showed up to a protest, aka raid, aka trying to overthrow the U.S. government on January 6th.
Mm-hmm. Same group. Like reporters found, quote, that the districts hosting some of the most combative debates over diversity and inclusion initiatives have seen a steady increase in students of color attending its schools. In Gwinnett County, Georgia, there are videos coming out of there. Parents are screaming. There's been a 52.4% increase in students of color since 1994. Loudoun County, Virginia, where, you know, transgender student rights have been screamed about and, you know, critical race theories have been another contentious point. They've seen a 29.5% increase in that same time period. So they're just saying, like, the thing that we've always kind of seen in the country, which is demographic changes often kick off very unsettled and often violent periods in our country. If you'll remember Reconstruction, anyone? And the KKK coming out of that and many other things that are born out of suddenly, who are these fucking people here now? I remember when America was this other thing. And so, you know, I think a lot of the time that the conservative media was definitely focusing on it because it was just, as we thought, we're like, well, this is the thing that is helping them avoid speaking about Joe Biden at all or saying anything remotely positive about what's happening, that they really found something that was able to tap into just white fear and their fear of the inversion of racial power in the country.
Yeah. And then a political scientist went through demographic data and found that the same thing was true of the people who were there on January 6th, right? They were in counties with the most significant declines in non-Hispanic white populations.
Yeah. He said those counties most likely to produce insurrectionists.
Hey.
So just like so much fear, you know, that this is just the fear of losing status, because I'm sure depending on their very rigid view of how America works, if you're not white, then you're in trouble. And so to see things change must create some feeling of the old and lack is coming my way, because that's been the case for others who are not, you know, part of the majority demographic. And I just see, like, in general, a lot of fear coming out of conservatives. There's this person I went to school with who, like, posted on Instagram, and they took a picture of, like, a dumpster that had been, like, tagged by, like, a gang, and then, like, a random plank of wood next to it that had also been tagged. And they were legitimately, they're like, do I need to be worried about this? Like, this tagging? Like, oh my God, California is falling apart. I'm so worried. And they said, the next thing for me is I'm getting a concealed carry permit, because I will not be a victim, because they just saw some graffiti on something. Mm-hmm. You know, like the environment that I think is helping power this so much is just, I mean, hysteria has been everywhere in the United States, but like specifically as it relates to just seeing any kind of shift in what is happening in your immediate area and taking that as this is some kind of terror. What is happening? It's putting we can just see how that's manifesting throughout the country right now.
Yeah. They're not being shy about it either. I mean, Tucker Carlson did a whole thing about how the census data was like so alarming because it showed that white populations were shrinking. And, you know, these are the exact talking points that white supremacists and white nationalists were using back. Reading up on and even listening to a podcast of a white nationalist during like 2015, 2016, as Trump was rising. And, you know, it was like, well, people are saying that like the things he's saying are like dog whistles. So let me see like what they're actually saying about it. And it's all about like a cultural replacement and like the white genocide being just, you know, that like their values and the idea that they are of white supremacy is being challenged.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. It's like, I mean, like y'all said, this has happened so many times. It's extremely predictable at this point. This is extremely, like, water is wet in this kind of news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's so frustrating. Like, you understand, like, because we've seen it before, you know exactly what the mindset is, but it's like, how do we get people out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's just merely, it's like anything when people talk about how they've been brought back from like extremism or whatever, it's merely because they were never interacting with the people that they hated.
Exactly. Yeah.
And never would even give themselves the opportunity for that. And it wasn't until those interactions too that sometimes people begin to change. Now, not everyone has the same sort of flexibility of mind, but it seems like that's the one common thing is, yeah, people are, you know, they stay in their bubbles, and that makes it much easier to obscure what, you know, you believe the reality of another group to be. But yeah, as you said, not surprising. And yeah, I don't know what to say to them, because I'm sure in their mind they see, like, they're like, look at the white population is shrinking. Like, in their mind, do they think it's like it's because horrible things are happening, or that just other people are here also having, you know, procreating with people who are of different ethnicities, and we're just becoming more diverse rather than this idea? I think they have to frame it as the walls are closing in on us. Yeah. And we have to fight. We have to fight it back.
Yep. All right. Well, speaking of the South, white supremacy, and not surprising, I want to talk about the story that is starting to hit people's radars because this guy Alex Murdaugh was just arrested. The headline on BuzzFeed News is: "Police arrested the South Carolina lawyer who they said planned his own killing for an insurance payout." Which is taking him completely at his word. And like, the backstory is so wild. So let me just kind of go through, like, that's his alibi, is that he hired somebody to kill him. That's best case scenario for him. So
wait, what do you mean? Like, in that he was like, hey, man, you'll just choke me out, or like, you're going to give me a lethal inject, like Kevorkian assisted suicide?
He got shot in the head, but it was a graze to his head. And my suspicion, he's claiming it was a botched, he hired somebody to kill him and they just like missed by accident, couldn't like land the plane on the headshot. And he therefore, like, and the reason for it was he wanted to get an insurance payout for his son. I think it's actually, he had the person miss on purpose to try and throw suspicion off of him. And so let me just kind of take you back to the beginning of this. So the Murdaugh family were a political legal dynasty in South Carolina. For generations, they've basically been like the head lawyers in town, including like multi-generational holding down the solicitor general role since the 1920s. Like, they're just like, they're entrenched as fuck. And you know, there are people from local people who are like, they're the salt of the earth. They're the best people, including Bakari Sellers was like, they're the nicest people in the world. But then other people, like one local attorney was like, you don't cross the Murdaughs, or if you do cross them, you don't let them find out that it was you, because they'll come on down on you hard, and they'll come down on you with all that they've got. They have a lot of influence and power, and they'll use it against their enemies.
Wow.
So like, that's standard rich generational wealth corruption shit. Right. But so things first started unraveling when the youngest son of the guy who just got arrested for hiring somebody to kill him, his youngest son crashed their family boat into a bridge pylon while just hammered. Mm. And three of the passengers were thrown into the water, and the body of one of them was found a week later. And, you know, she had died. It was a pretty white girl, so the media noticed. And there is police dash cam footage of one of the other passengers on the boat, like immediately after the accident, saying basically that motherfucker should rot in jail and he's not going to get in any trouble at all.
Wow.
And sure enough, they were able to kind of delay and quiet it down for a long time. But then it started kind of bubbling up again. And then in the summer, that son, the one who had crashed the car or crashed the boat, and his mom, the matriarch of the family, were found murdered on their massive hunting property, both shot to death with different guns. And so that was just like, everyone was like, what the fuck happened? Then cut forward to the patriarch, the guy who was just arrested of the family, was shot in the head on a country back road while changing a tire. He was only grazed and survived. So it's just been announced now And because the story, like the smaller, more recent version of the story is so wild, people are just taking this as a given that he claims he hired his drug dealer to shoot him in the head as an assisted suicide bid to get his other son a big insurance payout. And if you just committed suicide, you know, there's a common belief that if you commit suicide, then the person can't get an insurance payout. Except he's a lawyer, so presumably he would have known that that isn't the truth. He could right. have committed suicide and his son still would have gotten the money. So it's also just been announced that he had been embezzling money from the law firm that his name is on, at least $1 million, and was just fired. And he went into rehab on an oxy addiction. So basically, those are the main public events until I'm gonna tell you about two more that are now bubbling up. But
more than this,
two more unsolved murders that are now being thrown into question involving the family, or suspicious deaths, I should say. So the theory of the case that he wants you to believe is someone killed the son and his mom in retribution for the boat manslaughter. The dad fell apart, was already a drug addict, decided to kind of off himself via his drug dealer. But his drug dealer was just like a bad shot and it didn't work. The one that I'm suspecting more and more, you'll suspect it if you're kind of suspicious of moneyed, locally powerful, generationally powerful, you know, Southern white families,
right.
Or just all white families. So they had a long running, my guess, and this is not proven, this is just my theory, that they had a long running, like, I can buy my way out of anything history of doing crimes, getting away with it. The son had become a liability. And as has been rumored, the mother was looking to get out of the marriage and blow the whole thing up. So, you know, that's where their murders came from. And then the dad wanted to make himself less of a suspect. So he hired his drug dealer to make it look like someone tried to kill him. And because, I mean, it's hard to shoot someone in the head and not kill them.
I mean, unless you're sniping them from 200 fucking yards or something.
Yeah. And also they were on a country back road. So if he had intended to kill him, it's not like he was shooting him and running away.
I mean, wouldn't it go down like being like, hey, you're my drug dealer, man. I'm paying you to kill me.
Right. Yeah.
And if you were serious about that, you'd be like, all right, man, do it. And if it missed, you'd be like, what the fuck, bro? Can you do it right now? And you're like, yeah, oh, all right, my exactly. bad. Boom.
Right.
Yeah, like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm sorry, you know what? Oh, God. Gotta go, actually. My other drug users are calling me for a drop or something.
So adding weight to the theory that this is all, like, part of a massive, like, ongoing, like, corrupt crime family is that the police are now reopening two deaths that have happened near the family farm. Their housekeeper, who mysteriously died from, quote, falling, a few years back, like the coroner was like, we never were informed of this. We never did an autopsy. They really swept it under the rug. And now they're reopening that because they're like, this, like, none of this adds up. And also a 19-year-old young man whose body was found on a country road, like by their house. And keep in mind, their house is like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of acres of land.
Right.
So it's not like being by their house is like being by 20 other houses.
Right,
it's
right, right.
By their house. And interestingly, the police at first thought that he had been shot in the head, but later changed the cause of death to hit and run.
Nope.
They claim a truck's rear view mirror, like, basically exploded his head, and that's how he was killed. So again, it just feels like, you know, conveniently, the police kind of looking the other way when something incredibly mysterious happens around this family.
Jesus, that is
it's so wild.
It is so wild. Okay. Yeah, I think it's wild that also, like, that it's being covered as, yeah, he tried to, because that is a good story, right? Like, that's a good quick story.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had like hired someone to kill him so his son could get the, like, payout. And it's also, like, ties into our understanding. Like, there, I think there are movies that use that logic that, like, all insurance, life insurance things, like, you can't get it if there's suicide. Whereas,
right.
like, that's, you know, case by case. And the person who would know that and who would know the particulars of his life insurance policy would probably be like a lawyer.
Yeah. That's wild when you said, oh, wait, hold on. The cause of death is falling. And right. You're like, that's not good enough. Like,
yeah.
Is it a head injury? Like, do they have a heart attack? And like, what are we going on? And then to switch something from shot by someone to smashed by a car.
Right.
I mean, I think that just reeks. Mm. Those things don't happen without someone willfully obscuring things or looking the other way and just being like, that's good enough for me.
Their 57-year-old housekeeper died on February 26, 2018, as a result of injuries sustained in a, quote, trip and fall accident.
Wow.
She had been a housekeeper for them for 25 years. So he basically was like, look, I'm going to get you guys $500,000 for your trouble to her sons. And was like, so what you have to do is sue me because it happened on one of my properties that I have home insurance on. So you sue me. And I will get the payout through insurance and you'll get $500,000. Her sons are like a really small town guy and somebody with, I think they said, developmental disabilities. And so, you know, they were just like, sure, I'm not currently equipped to take on a massive, like fucking the Corleone family of South Carolina. So right. I just got them to like go along with it. But yeah, they're now saying like the county coroner requested that the state authorities open an investigation into her death due to inconsistencies surrounding it.
Yeah, this is just can't wait for this Dateline episode.
I was going to say this is probably like a whole other show in itself. There's just so many layers. Like something's going to come out of this. This is going
to
get.
I mean,
someone's
going to
buy the rights.
So business minded, Jack. But do we know who has the rights to this?
I'm sure everybody.
I mean, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, but it's a damn interesting one. There's so much intrigue there too, because like it's hitting all the notes of like America, like the worst parts of American culture of just concentrated wealth and a justice system that is very pliable and kind to people. Who are at certain echelons of society.
And fear, you know, they're afraid that if they get caught doing anything to endanger those people, they're going to come down on them. They might disappear next. Like that's like multi-generational like corruption. Like that's, you know, your grandparents are telling you not to fuck with the Murdochs,
at that point.
Like that's... They've been making people disappear, I'm sure, for many generations.
Can you imagine, though, too? Because it's like we have things that like generationally, like we'll accept as truth from like our elders.
Yeah.
That something like even like don't fuck with that family is like comes with the weight of decades of whatever the hell they suspect them of doing, too. It's like the same way, like, I don't know. My parents would tell me like weird ghost stories or some shit that would freak me out as a kid. But I'd be like, oh, my God, even they know about this. It's a very, very, dark story, but hope to know more.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't
feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And let's get into Ballgate briefly, as briefly as possible.
Yeah.
Which is not very briefly.
I mean, so, we can condense it. I think people are familiar with Ballgate at this point. We've touched on it in the trending episodes. But, you know, there was just this whole story with Nicki Minaj and the tale of the cousin's friend who most people were like, it sounds like an STD and this person maybe blamed the vaccine and got caught, or maybe this isn't true at all. It's had many different steps to it. The first one was Tucker Carlson getting involved and like making this like retraction, which he never has, around this, where he was just being kind of cheeky about it and was saying like, you know, I just want to say like it wasn't her, like it's not the cousin's testicles were swollen. As far as we know, he's fine. It's Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's testicles who are swollen from taking the vaccine. That's the claim. And at first I was like, this is weird. Jack, you were like, I think he's trolling. But
yeah, it seems over the like course of trolling and like doing a retraction and a correction on the least consequential story possible.
Yeah.
While also being kind of dismissive of.
Well, the thing is, like, it's slowly become a culture war battle where conservatives have now found a way to be like, oh, let's back this celebrity, this black celebrity to help, you know, be our sort of champion and to do battle in the anti-vax realm, because you're getting a lot of like. You know, like Glenn Greenwald, he's chiming in. He said they're trying to dictate to Nicki Minaj what she can say and can't say, who she is and isn't permitted to cite, what partisan box she must stay in. When people were like, because the whole thing was she claimed that Twitter had put her in Twitter jail. Twitter was like, no, we never did anything like that. I don't know what she's even talking about. Mm-hmm. So then Greenwald was sort of pointing to that. And when someone was like, hey, that didn't actually happen, she wasn't actually censored. He said, quote, if she wasn't banned, it's only because of who she is, not because of anyone else would be allowed to say this. All right. And then we see like this sort of back and forth now, because Tucker Carlson has gone on for a couple nights now talking about it. But he's doing it in this way to really bring up the thing that they love, which is if a black person goes against like whatever the mainstream point of view is, like especially with Democrats, then it's like they just think that, you know, their favorite thing is Democrats think that every black person has to vote for them. And when they don't, they get so upset if they say anything mm-hmm. different. This is what happens to black people when they don't agree with Democrats. And the thing is, at the end of her tweet, she was just like at the initial one to say, like, you don't have to get bullied. Just she says you should pray on it and do what you think is best. Tucker, again, he used this to just sort of push his same sort of motive, which is, quote, he said, it's that last part of Nicki Minaj's tweet that enrages them. The part where she says you should pray on it. Make the decision yourself like a free human being and don't be bullied. So our media and public health officials didn't like this because they make their livings bullying people. So they couldn't let it stand. Mm-hmm. And it's just like an interesting just that this has now been fodder for conservative talking points more than like, I think, anything else. And on top of that, Nicki Minaj had a whole thing where she was saying the White House like lied to her and said that they wanted her to go there or didn't or whatever. It's just stupid. I think eventually she's going to have a Zoom call with Anthony Fauci and the Surgeon General. But I think a lot of people also saying like
Carlson video on Twitter, and I still can't believe that.
Yeah. And then the other one she did with the Bulls. Exactly. And people are like, what? Yeah. And then she's like, what? Just because he's a white supremacist, essentially, like, I can't agree with him. And people are like, what? Nicki, no. But a lot of people point out, it's like, if you just remember a week ago what Nicki Minaj was doing in the news headlines, it was for headlines like this. Quote, Nicki Minaj pulls out of MTV VMAs as husband faces up to a decade in prison. That's because her husband, Kenneth Petty, failed to register as a sex offender in California, to stemming from a rape conviction in New York when he was 16. So she's been saying a lot of controversial stuff. A lot of people have been like looking at her like, what is going on? But this, you know, this whole other Ballgate thing feels very Trumpy in that you had a lot of negative press or things talking about one thing. So you just come out and say something even more outlandish, like someone's gigantic balls. And now everyone's just talking about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yep.
She sees the Matrix, unfortunately, on that one. But yeah. It is a little terrifying because I'm always just surprised by all the kind of seemingly left-wing people who are using the vaccine mandates to like start agreeing with Tucker Carlson and people like that. It's like, fuck. Yeah.
Man. Well, you know. We're constantly seeing strange bedfellows in this era.
Yeah. Let's talk about the hot new fall trend, and it's divorce.
Ow.
Okay.
Who's getting divorced, right, baby? Yeah. Wow. You are looking great with that ringless hand. Oh, my God. This seems like to be a trend that's being seen across the U.S., although like a lot of this new it's weird. This was a piece in the New York Times style section. Okay. Sure. I don't know what this has to do with style, but they point out that like in New York and L.A., like they've just seen a ton of like just an uptick in divorce cases and things like that. And there's a few sort of theories around it. But like one New York law firm said that, quote, since April, our phones have been ringing off the hook nonstop. And most of those calling are people who want to come in and start divorce proceedings. She went on to add, during the pandemic, many of these same people were experiencing marital problems and putting off splitting up for practical reasons. And in some cases, she said that some couples were, quote, waiting for the vaccines to be approved and to gain more social and economic stability before leaving their marriages. It seemed like, according to some, like, you know, some polls that like relationship people have been doing, that this time, like, people are more unhappy in their marriages than this time last year, when, like, you know, we were in the height of lockdowns. And, you know, there's a lot of people are speculating what that is. If it's come from things like, you know, partners who are not pulling their weight, and because of like the added labor of like women in the lockdown and things like that, that this could have compounded like issues of like sort of imbalances in relationships, or the fact that maybe because people have been very, you know, reflective and had time to sort of think about their priorities, it also has been extending to what they want of a partner. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I'm like, I do know somebody who split up in the last couple months.
Yeah. I like one of the things that the lawyer suggests is they're hearing more pandemic specific disagreements in couples.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very real. Like the thing about the, you know, anti-vaxxer shit crossing political ideologies like that. I think there are people who are probably shocked to find out that their significant other or their spouse, I guess, is anti-vaxxer, you know?
Right.
And that's a hard thing to bounce back from, I feel like.
Yeah. There's a thing that says like 1 in 3 or like 1/3 of Americans have cut ties with like unvaccinated people.
Yeah.
Because it's become like so contentious. And I can see how, yeah, that could easily happen in a marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like, I mean, I think it's very interesting, like how the this is like, I don't know, I feel like we saw it coming because it already had started happening last year. But now that it's been become more and more like, oh, we're not out of this yet. This is going to keep going. How much more can I take this person? Mm. You know, that's probably what's like leading to all this stuff. It's very interesting. Like, I haven't personally seen that so much. But my brother actually got a girlfriend 2 weeks before the lockdowns in New York, in like New York and New Jersey. And he decided that he was going to go live with her during everything. And they're still together. And it's like, it's been very good from what I've seen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like really interesting. Like that was kind of the opposite. But like, because their relationship kind of like came out of the pandemic, I guess. Like it started there.
Right.
I think that's maybe why. Yeah. But like, definitely like, obviously families in general, a lot of families have political disagreements. But when it comes to like things like the safety and health of everyone around you, like you have to take it a lot more seriously, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense where, cause you seemingly get married to someone and think, you know, like everything about them and how that like they'll respond to different stimuli throughout your lives. But this has been the weirdest test for people.
Yeah.
And it's had all kinds of results, like from, you know, your example, like there, I know people who got booed up during the lockdown and they've been great. People are like loving it. They found the loves of their lives. And then there are other people who in it were really starting to reconsider. Most people I know would be like the nature of like their work and what they're doing. But also in some cases, like people having sort of realizations around dating and things like that, too, of like, oh, wait, I'm starting to understand like what my own needs are. And I think this is this other quote from this relationship expert out there saying, quote, there's a lot of angst out there, which is why many divorced people tell me that they are now approaching new relationships by holding potential partners to a higher level of maturity and authenticity. And that starting from the dating level, they will never again, quote, settle for just anyone.
Damn. That also sounds like how people are thinking about jobs a little bit.
Yeah.
Like not totally, but, you know, we still have to like put food on the table, but it seems like people are getting more choosy.
Yeah.
Like
I think
feeling more empowered to hold people to a reasonable standard.
Right. And I think is like, it's easy to get caught up in like what you're like. I understand the settling thing because it doesn't always feel like that, you know, because sometimes we're surviving and a job is what we needed in that time to survive that moment, or a relationship is what we needed in that time to unfortunately just avoid loneliness. And it's two people avoiding loneliness together, maybe with not much else in common. But yeah, just sort of all of that happening like at once. I hope people aren't settling. And I think maybe people are just getting more, again, more open about what their needs are, because I think everyone was feeling some level of pain these last 18, 19 months that there you're able to actually kind of stop bullshitting yourself on some level, not everyone. But if you are feeling a lot of bullshit going on, it might be easier to fucking really take stock of what's happening and do something. Yeah.
Shout out to all the people who are able to stay married out there, because you know, it's hard. It's been a hard couple of years, and you know that it takes work.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, I feel like even in my own relationship, like because we both would have to be open about like shit that was getting us down, like in a way that we weren't doing before.
Right.
That I think because luckily I have a partner who's very intelligent emotionally and like empathetic, that there was an arena to do that in, that that really helped make things mm-hmm. more stable or stronger. And I think in other yeah. cases, like, you'd hear about people who were just dating and they're like, this person doesn't like talk about anything, like actually
right.
like and right. yeah. doesn't want to talk about their emotions, doesn't want to talk about mine. Mm-hmm. And this is just actually someone I was avoiding loneliness with.
Mm. Yeah, it's deep.
Yeah, avoiding loneliness with is a tough thing. Hey, so it turns out I was just avoiding loneliness.
Yeah, you were kind of like a piece of emotional driftwood in a sea of isolation. I was clinging to. Sorry
about that.
Yeah.
Well, Ayumi, it's been such a pleasure having you, as always, on TDZ.
Thank you.
Where can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ayushinows, AYUSHGKNOWS. And that's also the name I use for my Ko-fi, where I take art commissions, and my shop on Imprint. The links are all on Twitter and Instagram if you just click over there. So, yeah, I also need to shout out all the Zeitgang, because the last two times I went on here, I got a lot of commissions. So I really appreciate each and every one of you.
Oh, dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep hitting that link.
Yes. but yeah, and my podcast is Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu, where we talk about magical girls with the people who love them from every corner of the world. And you can follow at Magical Girl Ayu, spelled AYU, for updates, or find the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes, goodness. So the one that's been kind of stuck, I know it's slightly old news that, you know, that there's a new Matrix trailer that dropped, but I kept thinking about this tweet from Ron Iver at RONNUI_. He says, the Matrix wasn't dumb. You just have to understand the philosophical allegories that it's referencing, like downloading karate from LimeWire.
I love that shit. Weird. I used to think like that. I'm gonna get this book off of I'm gonna get a torrent of this book, and I'm gonna expand my knowledge base like some fucking wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, getting karate off of my
That's exactly what you have to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiance, with Sophia Alexandra. If you like 90 Day Fiance, just come hop in the waters over there. It's laughy. We get laughy over there. Some tweets that I like. Let's see. The first one is from Reductress. It's been a while. It's just a photo of this like woman laying in bed, and says, "Woman's self-care starting to look suspiciously like self-sabotage." And it can be a fine line.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm like, just come on. This is what I need, okay? It's not sabotaging. It's not procrastination now. And then another one is from old friend 99 at old friend 99 said, "Please stop referring to things as Orwellian. Some of us haven't read his books yet, and you're spoiling them." And then finally, Mike Drucker at Mike Drucker tweeted, "Your childhood ends the moment you learn it's not called duct tape." D-U-C-K and not D-U-C-T. And that is very true.
That's the day that the magic died, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. Laura is such a good mom tweeted, "I'm going to Costco. Anybody need me to pick up 50 pounds of rice or a kayak?" And Michael A. Balazzo tweeted, "After a long day of protesting in front of the hospital, I like to get home, put my feet up, and unwind by passing away of COVID-19.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It's dark.
It is dark, but, you know. And then finally, John Boyce tweeted, "I wish the instructions for the soup ended with 'serve and enjoy.' I'm so fucking hungry." You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people should go check out?
This track by Dev Never, it just feels like good, like sort of poppy music, and it's like equal parts relaxing but also interesting enough that you'll actually really listen to it. And I think there's no better way to take that into a weekend. So this is Funky by Deb Never.
All right, well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And hey, we'll talk to you then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.